Welcome back to another episode of Wings Over Water, Creativity and Recovery on City of Angels Recovery Radio. I am your hostess with the mostest, Kathy Moser. Today's topic, family. What is it like to be in recovery and be a member of a family that may or may not be interested in recovery, supportive of your recovery, encouraging of your recovery? And what is it like to be a creative person with a family that may or may not be encouraging and supportive of your creative expression? And what is it like, you know, to be all of that? To be creative and in recovery and have a family that may or may not be supportive of that? I happen to be the only person in my family in recovery. And so it's been a real journey for me to figure out how to become a new, like I'm a different member of the family. I'm still like in the same birth order and all of that, of course, but I cannot play the same role inside the family, and I cannot be the same person inside the family, regardless of the fact that nobody else, you know, may or may not change. I'd like to also just mention that I am back behind the wheel of my car bringing you this show. So if you hear the GPS in the background, that's just so I get to my gig. And yeah, there she is. Maybe I'll turn her down, but actually I'm driving, so I can't do that right now. So back to the topic, family. I have to say that honestly, let's just put it this way. Not every family is excited to have a member go into recovery. You know, some people may be like just deeply grateful that their family member is getting the help that they need. However, that's just not always the case. And even if they are supportive, they may totally not understand it. So that's hard because you're doing this thing that's like vital and important and necessary and new and puzzling, and your family may not be able to support you through that. And in fact, may, if there's alcoholism, if there's unacknowledged addiction in the family and one person gets clean and sober, then it's kind of pointing an arrow to something that people do not want to look at. There's a great book called The Dance of Anger, and she talks about the fact that when one person in a system, family system, or any kind of system changes, the very first thing that happens is that all the other people in the system get angry at that person and say, change back, change back, change back. So some of the ways that that happened in my experience was, one of the ways that my family bonds together is through drugs and alcohol. And so I was no longer bonding in that way. And some people felt uncomfortable, maybe abandoned. And I felt uncomfortable because I didn't know how to bond with them when I couldn't participate in this part that they were doing. And in fact, I actually had to kind of separate for a while. So what might happen is maybe in an evening when things were getting, you know, more drinks had been poured, I might excuse myself and go to some kind of recovery-oriented activity or use the telephone and call for some support. Because one thing that happened to me was that I felt like I looked like the crazy one because I chose no longer to drink and do drugs in a system where that was normal. And I have to say, you know, honestly, that for my family, I think they were as puzzled by me as I was by them. During this time, they did not understand it. Honestly, I also just did not have the emotional wherewithal or the solid foundation or the distance or anything or the compassion to be able to explain my situation to them. I mean, they knew I wasn't drinking or doing drugs anymore, but I just didn't have the ability to like to try and explain it to them. And honestly, I don't know that they would have heard it anyway, or even if they wanted to hear it. So I lost that family bonding way. I will just say, like, fast forward to the end of the story, I'm totally a better member of my family because of the fact that I'm clean and sober, but I'm a drastically different member of my family, and that was a process. And it was a process that definitely involved some separation and a lot of work, actually. So another way that was an impact in the family was there's certain just behavioral practices that were not good for me. So one way that my family bonds is by talking about people who are not present, often even people that we don't really know well, or complaining about the state of the world, criticizing the current state of the world, the government. All kinds of things, just like a big negativity festival. And I just can't participate in that. And they my mom told me, actually, at one point, she told me that I'm no fun anymore because I won't gossip. And so I had to recalibrate or just renegotiate that. And one thing I was able to say to my mom was that, like, look, you know what? I'm not going to talk to you about them, but you can also take comfort in the fact that I'm not going to talk to them about you. Okay, I'm just not going to talk about people who aren't present. It's not spiritually healthy for me. And not trying to get on a high horse. It's just that, like, you know, time is short and I just don't want to spend my time like that, you know? So that was another way in which things were different for me and my family. Not bonding over drugs and alcohol, not bonding over, negativity. So how did I deal with that? What are some tools for dealing with that? One is that I just remind myself that there are 7 billion people on the planet at this point, and there's only like 5 of them in my immediate family, 4 now since my father died. So I can define family differently. I can define it as the people that are, people that are on the same path as me, as my tribe. And to invest in that, not just like think about it, but actually take time and invest in that so that I have people who know me, who know my history, who know about my family, my blood family. And I actually make that distinction that there's my blood family and there's my heart family. And sometimes they overlap and sometimes they don't. So building up connections with other people that are important to me and know me has been helpful to me to be able to replace it. And also, you know, to grieve. I definitely grieve the fact that my family has been so affected by addiction of all different kinds. And there's a certain part that I have to say that my being sober is, to a certain extent, a form of loss in regards to my family. I do not fit in the family the same way I did. But honestly, I didn't really fit in before either. One of my theories is that the stork dropped me in the wrong house, that there was turbulence and the stork dropped me in the wrong house. And I don't mean to say anything disrespectful to my family, but just to say that another way I think of this is that whatever my higher power is, that that's my true parents. And that is my true heart center. And that, my parents were damaged and hurt by their parents. One of the expressions that's helpful to me is that I was misinformed by misinformed people. And my parents were also misinformed by misinformed people. And that's just a helpful expression for me to keep in there. And also hurt people hurt people. Just to remember that some of the ways that my parents were damaged or hurt in their lives make it so that when I am visible in the world, for example, as an artist or as a person in recovery, that makes them uncomfortable. And when they are uncomfortable, what they want to do is make me stop doing that. it's been a real challenge to recalibrate. The other thing that's been really useful for me is to talk to other people who have similar need to shift their relationship with their family. Again, remembering that like my long-term goal is to be in connection with my family, and it's to be able to be of service in my family, and it's to be able to be the best daughter and the best sister that I can be, and the best aunt and the best stepmom and the best grandmother and the best wife. Like all of these are my goal. It's not to my goal is to figure out how can I be in good connection with my family, but also take good care of myself and not feel like I'm getting my teeth kicked in or my identity really squished as a result of being in my family. We'll be right back.
just like birds of a feather. I won't tell no lie. All of the people around us, they say, can they be that close? Just let me stay for the record. We're giving love.
Act two, families and creativity. What happens if you don't come from a family in which creativity is valued and you are an artist and other people either are not artists or have not had the support or courage or willingness or belief in order to pursue their art? That's what I grew up around. And also just to see art was something that you, we just didn't know people that were artists. So art was like something that you dressed up and went somewhere else to see. And definitely it was valued. I remember my mom took me to see the Van Gogh exhibit at the Philadelphia Museum of Art when I was, I must have been like before the age of 10. And it just seared itself into me. And when I got to go see the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam, you know, 30 years later, 20 years later, I still, that experience of seeing it when I was young still resonated. So there was an appreciation for art and music, and there's a lot of church music in my family. My mom, passionate about sacred music. And I think somehow part of the message that I've gotten and I've seen in other, you know, wounded families is, you know, the joy, like having a good time is like okay, but joy, like pure unadulterated joy, and also following something that seems to possibly be pointless, because honestly the creative process is a pretty wandering process and things are not like point A to point B, and failure is the way to success in the art world, as in many other places and endeavors. But if your family does not understand that, they may not be able to tolerate all of the baby steps that it takes to become excellent or competent in art. So one thing we can do for that is to take great care of ourselves in terms of only sharing our creative endeavors with people, especially our creative like struggles, with people that genuinely understand that that is a necessary, valuable, and important part of the process and can honor us and encourage us for taking those baby steps. and for trying things that don't work. That's awesome. Like, if you try something and it doesn't work, I think that's like a really, it's a position of honor. It's like, you didn't try for a sure thing, you know, you tried something risky. And I've seen so many different kinds of art that just makes my world bigger. I know an artist in my area here in New Jersey who does mushroom prints, where he picks wild mushrooms and then puts them on archival paper, and then when the spores fall out of the mushroom releases its spores, it makes these like spore prints, which are just like so, I'm like, how did you even think of that, you know? And so, you know, art can be inexplicable to people who are not artists in exactly the same way I think that recovery is inexplicable to people who are don't need it or don't want it or don't want to hear about it. So ways I've taken care of myself are, again, building an art family. You know, I have people that love and support my art, and also, you know, holding on to, like, when people say things to me about why my work matters to them. You know, I was kind of brought up that you just brush compliments off. And for me, when people tell me that my work matters to them and makes a difference to them, I try to be very, like, it's like mindful eating. Like, I know I feel a lot more nourished when I'm eating mindfully. And so I try to mindfully accept compliments, because that's what I need when I am trying to get work and feel like I'm not getting the bookings that I want, or I have an off night, or, you know, whatever might happen, just to remember that there are people for whom my work is important and meaningful. And to just, you know, I think I was raised in a way to, you know, whatever you did, you were not supposed to be full of yourself, which is a funny thing, because in order to be original, you have to have a point of origin. And that point of origin, I believe, is yourself. You know, so I need to be full of myself to be an artist, to have a point of origin for my originality to flow forth from. So some of the other ways are, I notice and acknowledge the fact that my family does not want to, for the most part, celebrate my artistic successes. I sometimes choose to share them with them anyway, because I just want to go on record for myself, but I try not to have any expectation that they're going to be excited about it. And it's a funny thing, because I don't think I'm the only person from a family like this, is that tragedy is like a great way to get attention, and hard times. So I recently was bitten by a dog, which was not a really big deal. It was definitely traumatic and serious. Like, just heads up, if you ever get bitten by a dog, you definitely need to go to the doctor right away. So I did that, going to the doctor right away, but it didn't resolve right away. And so I had shared that with one member of my family, who then called all the other members of my family, who then all called me to see how I was from this dog bite, and like commiserate and hear how it was. I will tell you that, like, when I released an album or won a songwriting contest or won a great new, wrote a cool new song or had an article published or anything like that, like, it was just crickets out there on the family front, you know? So I've just gotten to get with the idea that, again, this is not, it's not about me. It's not a reflection on me. It doesn't mean my art's not important. It just means the people that, you know, are my blood relatives, because of, you know, being misinformed by misinformed people, or just the culture they grew up in, they just genuinely are puzzled by me. And like, that's a place where, again, I can have compassion for them. They just genuinely do not understand that, you know, I want to dress in bright colors, that I want to go see music, that I want to wander off into the woods with my camera and not talk to anybody, that I want to, you know, go see other weird art because it inspires me. So, you know, people are like, color outside the lines. I always feel like, what lines? Like, I understand that other people see the lines, but I don't, not in the same way. So, and then I'm not breaking the rules, you know, even though I may be breaking the rules of my family, right, by being joyful and powerful in my work, I am not like breaking, it's not like overthrowing a democracy, you know, killing someone or poisoning a water system, things that I think are genuinely bad. So it can definitely be, a challenging thing to be the lone artist. And the other reason that artists are sometimes threatening to their families is that if you come from a family that has a lot of family secrets or is very committed to everything looking normal on the outside, regardless of what's actually happening on the inside, then if you are an artist, art's powerful when it tells the truth. And families that have a lot of secrets are not into that. So again, it's like finding your tribe to be able to acknowledge, you know, there's like so many important works of art, which hopefully I'm going to think of one at some moment here, that, well, I mean, right now I'm just thinking of stories like the story about the emperor has no clothes. Like, that's all I have to say. And you know that whole deal right there. And storytelling is, of course, like one of the ancientest art forms. Editorial cartoons are another one. You know, people, there's like iconic cartoons that have pointed out things in politics or in culture or in society. Songs that have been really important in telling the truth about what's going on in the culture at the moment. So one of the other reasons that it can be hard to be a creative person in regards to your family is that speaking up, speaking out, being heard, telling the truth are things that are brave and frightening, and not everyone has the structure and support to make that comfortable or possible, or it might never be comfortable, honestly, but just possible, you know, to speak up and tell your truth. I mean, I guess that's the other thing too, is that there might be a radical difference between your truth and the image / story that your family is putting out into the world. So again, like I said before, a lot, when I got into recovery and my family did not, I looked like the crazy person because I was being different. It's also like that there's a story about, there's another story about a kingdom in which the water system does get polluted and everyone goes crazy except the king, who is drinking from a separate water system. And this, they start to perceive him as insane. And then he finally drinks the water and they are all relieved that he's now normal. But actually, he's just gone crazy with the rest of them. So there's some more thoughts about family, creativity, and recovery. And I just remind you that to be original is to have a point of origin, to be truly yourself. I believe it's the biggest gift we can give to the world and to our family, whether they like it or not. Remembering just because someone doesn't like what we're doing does not mean that we're doing something wrong. Remaining true to yourself and building your own heart family, your own art family, your own recovery family, in hopes that in the long term, this will make you a better member of your blood family. So I hope you have a great week, an enjoyable week, being exactly truly yourself. Adopt some people, you know, if you need more family members, just go out and adopt them. You can just, you know, privately adopt them. You don't have to, like, publicly adopt them or legally adopt them. Just adopt people. I think you're allowed to do that. I encourage it. Okay, have a great week.